the best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We step into the lunchtime, Doctor. It is Wednesday, so Dr. Vasan Basdeo is joining us today. Good afternoon to you, Doctor, and welcome.
Good afternoon, Tusker, and always a pleasure to be here today. And today, we have a very important topic. So to everyone listening and to everyone joining us, lock in. It's really going to be a very important topic today on this lovely Wednesday here in Trinidad and Tobago. You know, so getting right into it, Tusker, here in Trinidad, if we look around at our neighbors, our friends, and our family members, our co-workers, we have an issue here that is affecting thousands, maybe tens of thousands of families across Trinidad and Tobago, and that's kidney health and kidney disease. And here in our beautiful twin island country of Trinidad and Tobago, we love our culture. We love our food. We love a good line. But Trinidad and Tobago, please, after today's conversation, I want us to really reflect on whether there is a need to have a little bit more discipline in our food and the way we, carry about our passion, carry about our culture. And I'm always reminded, and I use analogies all the time in my consultations and speaking with people. And if you have something all the time, it loses that precious feeling about it. And when it really comes to our food and our culture, think about it. Can every day really be that sort of atmosphere of always wanting that food or that delicacy that we crave so often? So just some food for thought as we navigate today's topic on kidney health. So according to the Ministry of Health, Trinidad and Tobago has 81% of all deaths accounted for by non-communicable diseases. And even more alarming, chronic kidney disease ranks fourth among our nation's top health fatalities. So only heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, the fourth ranking cause of death in Trinidad and Tobago, is chronic kidney disease. So here we have a local studies that show we have a prevalence of 875 per million population for end-stage renal disease, which makes us one of the highest rates in the world, not just locally or in the Greek Caribbean region, but in the world for severe kidney failure. So every year, hundreds of trainees find themselves sitting in hospitals or these specialized kidney clinics across the both islands. And many persons, hundreds per year, are hooked up to these dialysis machines for sometimes between 3 to 4 hours at a time.
Dr. Basdeo, I think we just lost volume with you. Can you check your connection again? Dr. Basdeo? Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm here, Tosca.
All right, so we just lost you for a couple seconds there, so you may want to repeat what you were just saying.
Yeah, so, you know, when we think of persons who are on dialysis, hemodialysis, these are individuals who spend 3 to 4 hours a day, sometimes 2 to 3 times a week on hemodialysis. And many of them, when I speak to these patients, amazing patients who take this battle of chronic kidney disease and they go on putting themselves to ensure that they're there for their loved ones. Many of them wish they had known sooner how to protect their organs. And in fact, when we look at it, even from an economic burden, it's a massive and expensive process, hemodialysis. So these incredible organs, we must understand them. They're not simply to produce urine. They're not simply just to create the filtration of water. While making urine is their most obvious job, the complete reality is that your kidneys are highly sophisticated and they produce these organs, these endocrine organs. They produce a lot of hormones and chemicals that provides balance to your entire body's operations. So physically, most of us are born with two bean-shaped kidneys. That's where we get the name kidney beans from. Each about the size of a closed fist. Like if you were to make a fist with your palm right now, that's on average the size of your kidney. And they sit right towards your back, just under your rib cage on either side of your spine. So many times in the doctor's consultation, you may notice that whether you're, and for those who've experienced it, we sort of ball up the kidneys if you're lying flat. And sometimes we even look for that excitation by tapping just behind the ribcage there on either side. So every single minute of every single day, your blood is pumping through these vital organs. They work like a water treatment facility, continuously filtering your blood to flush out excess water, metabolic waste products, toxins from the food and drinks we consume. But they don't just excrete things. They don't just throw things away. Your kidneys are very, very meticulous. As they filter your blood, they make sure they also hold on to the important things and nutrients that our body needs, such as glucose, proteins, amino acids, essential salts and minerals like sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and they send them back into your bloodstream at exactly, precisely the right levels. They also prevent your blood from becoming too acidic, keeping your body's acidity or pH at a very strict and safe baseline. So that's the part that surprises many people. Your kidneys are a major hormone hub. They secrete hormones such as erythropoietin, which is a vital hormone that tells your bone marrow to produce red blood cells so your body can carry oxygen. They also activate vitamin D into a form called calcitriol. And this allows your body to absorb calcium and keep your bones strong. And finally, they also produce an enzyme called renin. And renin is so important in regulating our blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So when your kidneys are deteriorating or failing, this entire delicate cardiovascular hormonal ecosystem collapses. So let's talk about chronic kidney disease. And this is a progressive disease. And by and large, it is irreversible. But as we speak today, I'd like you to feel a little more motivated and empowered to understand that you can protect your kidneys. You can maintain your kidney health by some of the things we'll discuss. So when these filters are damaged, this waste and fluid start to build up in your blood, poisoning you from inside out. And here in Trinidad and Tobago, the cause of kidney disease is dominated by the two major health monsters that we face, which is diabetes mellitus and high blood pressure or systemic high blood hypertension. Here in Trinidad, diabetes, the Ministry of Health estimates a prevalence of 14.5% of the adult population. What that means is that approximately 140,000 citizens here are currently living with diabetes, and nearly 40,000 more are walking around completely undiagnosed, which is even more dangerous. And at the same time, our hypertension rates and high blood pressure prevalence stands between 25 to 30% of the adult population. This means that one in three adults in Trinidad and Tobago has high blood pressure. And our local registry and our local audits show that a combination of both sugar and pressure, diabetes and hypertension, is the direct cause of kidney failure in almost 40% of all our local dialysis patients. So again, 40% of all our local dialysis patients have a combination of both diabetes and hypertension. So we've talked at length about diabetes and high blood pressure and how these damage the system. But specifically when it comes to kidney, there's something called diabetic nephropathy, where your blood pressure, which is chronically high and is not being maintained, these excess sugar, they act like, you know, ground glass in your blood vessels, and it damages at a very microscopic level these delicate filters and fibers in your kidney. And your kidneys over time loses that permeability, as we say, the ability to filter out stuff, and this is now where they begin to fail in keeping these dangerous metabolic toxins filtered. Again, high blood pressure, you can think of this as simply from a mechanical point of view. This high blood pressure damages the kidney blood vessels. And think of it like hooking up a delicate garden hose to a high-powered industrial pump. And that high pressure hardens, scars the kidney. And this is why the kidneys fail to clear the excess fluid, the excess sodium. This extra fluid backs up into your blood vessels. That's why, as we talk about the symptoms, you have this expanded blood volume, which even more so drives your blood pressure up. And it becomes a dangerous compounding cyclical destructive cycle. All right. So what to look out for with kidney disease? Here's the most alarming thing about kidney disease. In its early stages, it is completely asymptomatic. Your kidneys have a very vast functional reserve, meaning they will work tirelessly. They will continue to fail slowly and suffer in silence until a massive portion of their filtering power is completely lost. You can feel completely fine, full of energy, and have no idea your kidneys are failing. But there are 10 warning signs that we generally ask patients to look out for. And if you have any of these signs, definitely speak to your healthcare professional. And I'd love to hear your questions in the later half of the program today. So the first sign is that severe fatigue or low energy. As we know, as these toxins begin to build up in the blood, they cloud your brain. They make you feel just always tired, always unable to concentrate. And again, remember that hormone we spoke about, erythropoietin. It causes your blood cell count to drop, and it causes an anemia, which also causes that exhaustion. Now, many persons think that with kidney disease, your urine output may be affected, and you are supposed to see less urine. That's a common misconception here in Trinidad and Tobago. But actually, it's very often not a change in their quantity, but there's a change in the nature of your urine. So if you find that your urine is suddenly foamy or bubbly and you look in the toilet bowl and you see bubbles and you have to flush a few times for them to disappear, this is actually a sign of protein in your urine. And it means that the filters are letting that vital protein called albumin escape your body. Another thing that is definitely a red flag and needs urgent attention is blood in the urine. Any blood in the urine requires an urgent consultation. And when these filters are physically damaged, these red blood cells, which are not supposed to go into the urine, can appear in the urine. And it doesn't necessarily have to be bright red. It can make your urine look dark, pink, red, or even the color of a cola, those black cola soft drinks. That's how sometimes it looks. And sometimes it's microscopic as well, too, meaning that you cannot see it. And we'll talk about that as well. And of course, again, we talk about the urine. Sometimes you may find yourself suddenly needing to run to the bathroom much more frequently, especially waking up multiple times during the night, something called nocturia, just to pass a tiny amount of urine. And what this means is your kidneys may be losing their ability to properly concentrate urine. And then there's something called swelling or edema of the lower extremities. And anytime I see this in my clinical practice, I think three things: cardiac, renal, or liver. Those are the first three things that I think of. And very commonly, sometimes though, it is positional. But those are the three things that I really have as wanting to rule out. And when your kidneys can't filter this excess sodium, salt, water, the gravity pulls that trapped fluid down into your lower extremities, into your ankles. So you will notice that there's some swelling in your feet, your ankles, your lower legs, your socks will leave a deep sort of imprints on your skin. And this is sometimes one of the signs of chronic kidney disease. Again, puffiness around the eyes. So not just in the legs, you have what we call periorbital edema because you are losing the protein in your urine and this fluid balance drop. Especially in these soft tissues with this loose skin, you may notice first thing in the morning around the eyes are puffy and swollen. And again, number 7, trouble sleeping or insomnia. The buildup of these toxins directly disrupts your central nervous system. And we spoke about sleep a lot and how important that is. And we'll talk about it again a little bit today, how important it is in preventing the failure of your kidneys. As well, too, many patients may develop a poor appetite. Notice that they feel very nauseous and have a very metallic, iron-type, steel-like taste because of the high waste products that are building up in your body's blood and cardiovascular system. And it's making your brain think that there's these toxins that needs to get out, and your vomit centers or the nausea centers in your brain leads to this chronic nauseous feeling, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's also, in the latter parts of chronic kidney disease, your skin may become very itchy, dry, itchy skin, something called uremic pruritus. Your kidneys can no longer balance the minerals like phosphorus in your body. And these combines with other salts in the body like calcium, and they deposit in your skin, causing a deep, very irritating, relentless itch that no amount of, let's say, coconut oil or lotion can relieve. And then finally, number 10 of these 10 symptoms to look out for is that painful muscle cramping. Because when your salts, such as your potassium, calcium, and magnesium levels swing wildly out of control due to the poor filtration, your muscle fibers become hyper-excited, triggering sudden agonizing muscle cramps in your calves or feet, or feet rather, suddenly, okay? So these are 10 signs or symptoms to look out for, and definitely pay attention to your body, because as we say, it's very asymptomatic in its early stages. And because it doesn't show symptoms, we want to catch this very early. So especially, and I'm going to say this two times, if you have diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, or a family history of kidney failure, do not wait for symptoms. Walk into your local health center or your private laboratory and request a comprehensive evaluation of your kidney function. In fact, the latest guidelines say if you have any of this, you should be checking every year at least for your kidney function. And how do we check this? One, there's a blood test that we do called serum creatinine. And we use this blood test to calculate something called your EGFR, your estimated glomerular filtration rate. In 2009, they used it as a very standardized formula for everyone around the world. That has been updated since by the nephrologist societies around the world to include things like your ethnicity.
Good afternoon there, Doc. You probably just cut off there for a moment. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 and Sky 99.5. Seem to have a problem with our doctor online there. Dr. Vasan Basdeo will join us again shortly as we talk about the kidneys today. All right, see some questions already coming in there. All right, about the kidneys. All right, so we await the doctor to get back.
Yes, please.
All right, nice. Thank you.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Maybe we can take some of the questions, or let me of just course. Wrap up this bit about the testing, and then we'll have some of those questions, right? Because the testing is important for public to know. Okay. So we were talking about testing, and that EGFR is that filtration rate of your kidney, and the way in which your body clears this creatinine, this protein, is a measure of your kidney function. And generally, an EGFR of 60 or above is considered normal. But we take that into consideration with other things like your urine function as well, which we'll talk about. An EGFR below 60 for 3 months generally indicates chronic kidney disease. And an EGFR of 15 or less means end-stage renal disease, where that means that there's kidney failure and total kidney failure, that is, requiring urgent dialysis or a transplant. And then there's the urine test, and this test is known as the urine albumin to creatinine ratio, and it takes a simple urine sample that you take, and it is checking for protein leakage, something that you cannot see. And again, once it's less than 30 milligrams per gram or less, we say that it's a normal result. Anything higher means you have microvascular damage to your filters, and the guidelines use A1 to A3, and they use that together with the EGFR to calculate, you know, your stage or your level of chronic kidney disease. And then finally, the other test is the blood urea nitrogen, and this tracks urea, which is a waste product from your protein, from protein digestion and breakdown in your body. So we use something called a bun to creatinine ratio, and this can point to whether it's something in the kidney or outside of the kidney that is causing the breakdown or the excess bun or blood urea nitrogen in your body and your system. So Bees, if you are there and we have some questions coming in, I'd love to get some of those questions in.
All right.
As we continue to talk. Sure.
Let's get a question here about the kidney. Good day, Doc. Is a 3.5 kidney failure patient need dialysis?
Yeah, so I assume that that person, that 3.5, is talking about the creatinine. And that's a good question, because the creatinine by itself is not really the best marker for understanding your kidney status in terms of, one, chronicity, because one, it's just a snapshot in time. And generally the word chronic, we say between 3 months to 6 months of that chronic picture of kidney disease, because you can also have acute kidney injuries. There can be acute things happening, meaning suddenly in your health, that is causing your creatinine to be accumulated in your blood. The other thing that is to be taken into consideration is age. To be taken into consideration is whether this is a male or female person, someone who is, for instance, like a bodybuilder, weightlifter. They may have different creatinine levels because of the amount of protein in their body. Someone who is, let's say, frail. All these things are considered in assessing kidney disease. So a creatinine of 3.5 is certainly an urgent need for review, very urgent, because that by itself alone, generally 1.4 around there is where we'd say, given even the maximum in terms of someone is a bodybuilder and these things like that. So definitely that person should have an assessment by a healthcare professional with their family doctor, who would most likely refer them on to a nephrologist, a kidney specialist, to have that there. So that creatinine level base is not a standard alone to say what stage. That staging, as we talked about, that update to the equation, especially in here in the Caribbean with multi-ethnic persons in the Caribbean, East Indian descent, African descent, that older equation is no longer used. From 2009, there's an updated 2021 equation that we use to say what stage of chronic kidney disease that individual have.
Also, another question here. My blood pressure is always low, right? Can your cholesterol level be still high?
Yes, certainly. Cholesterol is not linked to your blood pressure readings per se. This idea that blood pressure is low is something that we have to really take with a pinch of salt. Because, one, sometimes are we really using the right method to check our blood pressure? So I found that many persons who told me they have these extremely low blood pressure readings, they were using like these wrist monitors, or they were using an inappropriate size cuff around the arm. Now, if you look at the cuffs that you place around the arm, that is your bicep, tricep region above the elbow, the antecubital fossa there, it has a circumference. And it will tell you on the cuff itself what that circumference is. So those long-time measuring tapes that Granny used to have for her sewing, it has an important role in measuring our blood pressure, because we have such a varying population in terms of size and different shapes and body types. It is important to measure that area around your arm and make sure that the cuff is an appropriate size. And you would find that sometimes people actually also have high blood pressures because they're using too small of a cuff around the arm. And then there are persons who are using a size cuff that is way too big for their arm, and it is reading as a low blood pressure. So just to clarify that about low blood pressure, low blood pressure is generally used by our surgeons and trauma and emergency physicians and internists in the hospitals. It is really a measure. Blood pressure should generally have, based on your size, based on your height, there's no such thing really as you suffer from low blood pressure unless there's a medical cause per se. The other thing about cholesterol is that cholesterol is not linked to high blood pressure in terms of having high cholesterol readings. But high blood pressure with someone who has high cholesterol is very dangerous, because that plaque that is building up in the lining of your arteries can rupture, can become blocked, can dislodge and go on to form a clot lower down in your vessels where it's smaller and narrower, causing ischemia or death of that part of the body or organ, such as the heart or the brain, and even in other organs like your kidneys as well.
Okay. All right, some more questions coming in. Remember, you could call us as well, 625-2257, 627-3223. And, of course, messages at 306-1065. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Vasan Basdewin. And, of course, even though we were talking about the kidneys, you could feel free to message about any of your medical questions. What are the chances of bypass surgery versus stems? Thank you.
That's a good question, and it's really a question that is heavily debated in the medical field, particularly between all cardiologists. So you have two types of cardiologists. You have an interventional cardiologist, and you have basically your conventional medicinal therapeutic cardiologists. And you have your cardiothoracic surgeons. So what a bypass surgery is you are taking a graft. So it's called a coronary artery bypass graft surgery. And that's why some people refer to it as CABG. So you may hear doctors in their language saying that patient had a CABG, but it's really CABG. So you're taking a vein, usually from the lower limb, and that vein is then prepared under sterile conditions to then go into the heart and bypass where the blockage, something called stenosis, is. So to get to that point, it means that the patient would have had imaging, would have had investigations, would have had diagnostics where things like angiogram, CT cardiac angiograms, conventional angiograms, there's also now medically induced angiograms as well. And that angiogram creates a picture of the vessels in your heart. Now, generally, persons, we have these main vessels in our heart that descend and supply the different regions of the heart. You have the left side, the right side. You have communicating branches, circumflex arteries, these things like that. So someone may have blockages at multiple places in the heart. And that's why, depending on the site, depending on the location, it is something that is called critical stenosis. So once someone has critical stenosis, they definitely require making sure that that blood supply to the heart is open and prepared. So that's where the bypass surgery, some persons may tell you they had triple bypass, double bypass, quadruple bypass. I'm sure you've heard those terms. It means that in their cardiac arteries, there were two blockages that were critical, three blockages that were critical, even four blockages that were critical. And that's where the bypass surgery is using the actual graft of the vein to bypass the critical stenosis. Now, a stent is something now that goes inside, within the artery. So the surgeons, the interventional cardiologists, they go in from an artery, and in that artery, they send a wire to where the stenosis is. They pass that wire through the stenosis, the blockage, and then they insert a stent, which comes like a, you know, like you have a collapsing hose, or you have a, if you think of it like a barrel, and you're putting something to keep that barrel open from inside, whereas the surgery, the bypass surgery, happens from outside. Now, in an emergency, that interventional cardiovascular stenting remains the gold standard in saving a person's life in many instances if it meets the criteria for that emergency stenting, because that is at a time where, based on the ECG findings, the blood test findings, the interventional cardiologist can put in a life-saving stent or two in that individual. There also are options to put in stents, meaning not in an emergency, and those are things that are discussed with the cardiologists. Yeah, so I hope that made sense to the question there today.
All right, let's get another one. Good day. Stone in the bladders compared to stone in the kidneys. Can this cause back pain?
Yeah. And you know, back pain is the most common presenting symptom to especially family doctors like myself. And it can go from simple muscular mechanical back pain to very sinister causes such as kidney stones, cancer, and these things like that. So you do find that kidney stones, which are in the kidney, once they are moving, once they are attempting to move even, that pain comes from the back, which is known as your loin area, and it comes around from just under that rib cage area in the back there. It comes around the front of the abdomen down to your pelvic groin area. So that's why typically kidney stones that are moving from that kidney region is generally referred to as that loin to groin pain. And that pain is generally colicky. Colicky is a word that means it comes and goes, it waxes and wanes, and it means that your body is experiencing a pain of something trying to move against a limitation, a blockage. And that's what basically the stone is doing. It is passing from your kidney down a very narrow tube to your bladder called the ureter. And it is when that stone is moving that pain is, it is arguably one of the most severe pains a human can experience, of that feeling of a kidney stone passing through from the kidney through that tube, which is called the ureter, to the bladder. Now, once the stone is in the bladder, you generally, it is very usually asymptomatic. It remains in the bladder. It's asymptomatic. Very often we may see it on an ultrasound or a CTKUB or CT scan of the kidney, ureter, bladder region. And these are generally asymptomatic unless they are now moving through the urethra, which is the connection from the bladder out into the urine, out into the toilet bowls, as you mean. Okay. So yeah, so that's how those kidney stones function there as well too. Now, interestingly, kidney stones can be a cause of chronic kidney disease. Many persons aren't aware of it, but your diet plays such an important part of your health, of your kidneys. And that's a big part of the massive role that diet plays in your kidney health, especially salt, the sodium. Very recently, we had oral hypertension and we talked about salt reduction. And in Trinidad and Tobago, you know, we have a thing. Local flavor is often reliant on how salted the food is. If the food not salty, best you don't feed me at all, you know. And that's our general idea. We love the salted meats, the salt fish, and the smoked herrings. I listen to patients all the time about these heavy table salts, especially in our seasoning as well. And according to the PAHO WHO, prevalence of obesity and overweight, we stand at a staggering 60% of our population being overweight or obese. So it directly worsens that salt and obesity intake, worsens that blood pressure and that effect on the kidneys. So we must limit our sodium intake. And, you know, we can do simple things like those canned foods. Make sure you don't just take it out of the preserved canned food and into the pot. Drain and rinse them thoroughly under fresh water to wash away all those preserving salts. Use fresh, local, you know, salt-free, sodium-free green seasoning, your shadow benny, your bandanya, your thyme, Spanish thyme, something like well, pudina, garlic, pimento, lime juice. These would flavor your food instead of the artificial seasoning cubes that, you know, what I'm talking about, which is heavy in processed salt, especially sodium. And the other part of the salts that affect our kidneys is phosphorus. And your failing kidneys cannot get rid of phosphorus. And this affects your bone health. It affects the hardening and calcification of your heart vessels. And this is very much found in processed food, especially dark colored colas and sodas and preserved packaged meats. So that's why I always recommend.
Yeah. Yep, seem to be having some internet issues again. People, once again, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Vasan Basdeo. He will rejoin us shortly. In the meantime, send your WhatsApp messages to 306-1065, 306-1065. I do see some calls coming in there. 306-1065. And yeah, we'll get back to you shortly with some of your messages. We're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1 and Sky 99.5, Dr. Vasan Basdeo on a Wednesday. And of course, we have Dr. Brittany Dean Mondays to Tuesdays. Lunchtime doctor. Let's see if the doctor will get back in there shortly.
Yes.
All right. Nice.
Yeah. So do let me know if the calls are coming in.
Yeah, we do have a call. Yeah. Hello, good afternoon.
Peace, boy.
Go ahead. Yeah, man.
And doctor, I am not surprised. 200 amputees every year which could have been avoided. Nobody stays up for mind these people because they didn't want to read and watch the labels. Imagine you giving a child a soft drink at 85% sugar. Eh? Where is the food and drug, doctor? The food and drug is government, and the food and drug people are supposed to work with the government and tell them, listen, this is too much of sugar. Tell the manufacturer these drinks, energy drink, they in school, sitting down, learning, whatever. Then when they go home, they're on the computer, and this, another soft drink when they reach home, that is piling up sugar in their blood. That something has to give. Something has to give. So the government is not doing enough concern, and this program should be in school. Let the children hear for themselves, because the parents are more illiterate than the children. Yes.
Yeah, very passionate call there from the caller. And, you know, he raised a good point about the amputees in Trinidad, amputations in Trinidad. And I remember one of our leading professors and vascular surgeons in the 90s, you know, he felt, he did some research and he said, well, you know, let's save lives. So you're saving a life by amputating the limb. So just to make it abundantly clear, Trinidad and Tobago, we do not take any pride or joy in amputating any part of anyone's body, but it is usually done in a life-saving manner to, we rather prevent death than have that septic diabetic foot. That is very common there. And, you know, despite the passion there from the caller, it really raises that good question about having good labels on our food and drinks. And there's an organization called the Healthy Caribbean Coalition. And they have been doing some really good advocacy and work in the Caribbean region, putting that onus on the policy decision makers to have these proper labels that can show the amount of sugars, especially the included added sugars in all our drinks and all our beverages and food that we have, especially for children. And it's a good point. And there has been, over the past decade or so, some work done towards reducing the sugar in our schools especially. And I saw even recently that there was a push to really look at the school nutrition program and have those labels and that very high important dietary content, especially sugars, on there and as part of their plan there. So thanks for that call. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Some more questions here. Can swelling of the legs and feet be a sign of kidney disease?
Yeah, we touched on that earlier, Bis, and that swelling of the ankles, the feet, is usually signs of that chronic kidney disease picture, because what happens is when that high blood pressure over time scars, it damages the texture of your kidneys, it becomes very rigid. It's unable to filter the plasma, which is the blood, the fluid content of your body. You actually find a reduction in the ability to excrete the protein. And generally, you know, water follows concentration. What that means is that where the salt goes, the water goes. Where the protein goes, the water goes. So if your body is not getting rid of the salt and the protein, and it's now leaking in that regard, you have this accumulation of water in the body, especially in the areas that you put the feet down because they're hanging or you're sitting all day or standing all day. So you find that this swelling of the legs is sometimes and often a sign of chronic kidney disease, but it's not the only cause of edema. Edema is a symptom, and it usually requires a full consultation, examination, and ruling out other causes of edema in that individual. So yes, certainly, edema is a sign, one of those 10 signs that we spoke about, of chronic kidney disease. Yeah. Another thing I want to touch on today that I find very common in Trinidad and Tobago is the over-the-counter use or even prescribed use of NSAIDs. Now, NSAIDs is something called non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Okay, so one of the biggest problems here in Trinidad that I've realized is that we suffer from chronic inflammation. We suffer from lots of inflammatory diseases, especially one known as osteoarthritis, and a lot of mechanical body and muscular pain. So it's common for people to just walk into a pharmacy or even a local parlor and shop and buy painkillers like ibuprofen, naproxen, and all the ends basically for their chronic aches, pains, or headaches. And these are known as the NSAIDs. If you have kidney disease or at high risk for it, these NSAIDs are highly toxic. Your kidneys rely on natural compounds called prostaglandins to keep their blood vessels open and dilated so that fresh, rich oxygen blood can flow inside. These NSAIDs, while they are good at blocking the pain that you may have, they also block these compounds in the kidney, causing the blood vessels in your kidney to sharply constrict and narrow. And this starves your kidney of oxygen and causes a sudden devastating effect on the kidney. So it can even cause an acute injury on top of your existing chronic disease. So if you need pain relief, talk to your doctor about safer alternatives. Pain management is something we really have to look at here in Trinidad, especially as we're getting older. We have patients just self-prescribing or even sometimes being prescribed chronic NSAID use, and it's then showing up as chronic kidney disease. So be mindful of that, Trinidad and Tobago. Yeah.
Another question coming in here. Hello. Another question. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Doc. Good afternoon, Base. We are at risk for all lifestyle diseases, not just diabetes and things arising out of that. Everything that is a lifestyle disease, we have the wrong lifestyle here. We eat the wrong foods, and we are very sedentary, and we do not listen to the good advice that is coming through. We do not look at the fact that you could easily land up on our operating table, and a man wearing a mask and carrying a knife is going to change your life permanently by cutting off your leg. You know, people don't seem to get the message, but every now and then I run into an amputee. Why am I running into amputees? Right? We are letting this happen. I think there has to be a massive, massive campaign. We have to move away from treatment to prevention. I want your comment on that. Thanks.
Yeah, certainly. I do agree wholeheartedly with the caller there. And my specialty is in prevention. My specialty is in family medicine, public health education. And we really have to, we should take no joy in the fact that the number of amputees from the 90s to now here in 2026 has increased, and in some cases doubled the number of amputations we're having every year. That is not a success of a healthcare system. That's the success of a sick care system. It means that, yes, we in Trinidad have produced the best surgeons in the world. And I say that confidently because they have won world-accredited recognition for their surgical skills. But as a population and as a you know, for the health and wellness of a population, we really have to get up and start moving, start taking accountability and responsibility for our health as well. Because we cannot owe it to, okay, well, whenever whatever happens, I will just go up and land up in the hospital and they will take care of me. That mindset needs to move from that reactive to a more proactive mindset. And that is where it comes down to health policy, and we need our leaders and our decision makers to see the importance of ensuring we have things like shaded proper walkways in Trinidad and Tobago. Because it's easier for persons to jump in a car and drive for some, to a place that is 500 meters away than get up and walk. Because, and it's valid why they don't walk, why population in Trinidad don't walk, because they want, there isn't proper walkways, it isn't shaded, it's very dangerous, and we have to start rethinking as a population, how do we live our lives? Are we more sedentary? Can we take a walk? How often do we use public transport? How often do we walk to a place rather than getting into a vehicle? These simple things add up in terms of, let's say counting steps. I know a lot of persons, a lot of my dear friends, they count their steps a day. But it's more than just counting your steps. If naturally in your lifestyle you are moving, you are part of a walking community, you are part, it's part of a, they, instead of taking a car just to go out the road, you walk to the end of the road and then you take your public transport to the towns and cities. This alone will reduce the number of amputations in Trinidad. And then diet, one of my good friends, a nutritionist and dietitian, she's speaking about how we are moving away from the art of taking the time to prepare food. And the faster we make food, is the faster it's going to be processed, the faster it's going to be chemicalized, it's going to be preserved. So it's just all packaged, wrapped in plastics, in high salts, high sodium, high phosphorus, and all these chemicals are just being there ready to serve you in 2 to 5 minutes your meal, when food should be grown, food should be natural, food should be our local producers, our local agricultural and entrepreneurs, they should be the ones providing, our markets should be blooming and booming with persons going to these local markets and local produce, both from our vegetables and our livestock markets and fishing as well too. So it's a good conversation. That's more public health conversation, but certainly amputations is something that we should take no joy in announcing that, we do so many amputees a year and these things. We should be aggressively working to reduce the number of amputations in the country.
Of course, a big story, Doc, is the among number of people taking advantage of what's happening at the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital out there with the cataracts. You see hundreds of people every single day. Yeah. In terms of cataracts, some people here, I had was to, inform them that cataracts, you don't just get cataracts only because you reach age 50 and because you're getting elderly. There are there other things that cause cataracts as well, like an unhealthy lifestyle?
Certainly, Base. And that really, when you looked at the outpouring of persons that showed up at the SDAD, and let's
look at it by some internet fair by. All right, he'll be coming back shortly. 6 minutes away from 1 o'clock, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. Freedom, 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, and Sky 99.5. Lunchtime Doctor, 12 noon to 1 p.m., Mondays to Wednesdays. Right here, of course, tomorrow, Thursday, we will have Diabetes and You. That's only on, Freedom 106.5. But if you're listening from the other stations and you never tuned into Freedom on a Thursday, we do have Diabetes and You. That's a specific program for those with diabetes and all diabetes issues and related problems. So join us on a Thursday for Diabetes and You. 625-2257, 627-3223. Of course, 3061065. We'll wait for the doctor come back in shortly.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So, thank you for holding on there. And if we have those questions or calls coming in, we can take.
No, you could just finish. You were talking about the cataracts.
Yeah. Let me just finish that point there, Bees, because it shows that how here in Trinidad, we have so many ill persons just sitting there with, cataracts, kidney failure, amputations, and we have to start changing the way in which we see health, not just waiting for a cataract surgery, not just waiting for a bypass surgery, not waiting for an amputation surgery. Because what is the quality of life with these complications? And you know, the idea is not just necessarily to live long. Healthcare systems can do that. Longevity now can be either with good quality of life or longevity with a poor quality of life, confined to a machine, confined to a prosthesis, confined to some sort of disability, like a machine, like a hemodialysis machine and these things. So when it comes to cataract, again, the number one cause of cataract is diabetes. So we really have those 150 to 200,000 persons in Trinidad who have diabetes right now. It's a slow disease. You have the opportunity now to prevent and push that goalpost back, which is a goalpost you don't want to be scoring in, which is cataract, amputation, heart attack, stroke, kidney failure. All of them, again, boils down to diabetes, high blood pressure, smoking, abuse of alcohol, obesity. And these are the things, if we as a country and we as a population just focus on, you know, and it's not something that it's a miserable lifestyle. Many persons I know who lead healthy lifestyles, they're not fanatics. They enjoy their chai and their tea with sugar. They enjoy a soft drink here and there. But it's about being a little bit accountable and disciplined, that, you know, routinely, regularly in your life, you do the good things and the right things more often, and you enjoy the simple pleasures in life, your little cakes, your ice cream. You go down to some maracas and you have your beaks and you have your doubles and burgers here and there, not every day, you know. And I'm reminded also of the Old Testament, where it speaks there's a time and place for everything, and it cannot be a time that every day is that sort of festivity and feast-like and just the unhinged living in terms of our diets and lack of exercise and these things like that as well. And I'm also reminded that there's a simple one of my professors would say, that it's like an account, a bank account. If we keep only putting into that account, which is not a good account, and this is things like sugar and salts and all the toxins, it's going to deposit around our belly, it's going to deposit as fat, it's going to deposit as cholesterol, it's going to deposit around our heart and our brain, around our kidneys, damage our organs. But if you are putting in some, but you're also putting out, which is getting a hobby that is active, you start a community event that is, as you involve with the children in the community, a basketball club, a dance club, a running club, something, a yoga class, anything that is active. And we get off these couches and these chairs, because I realize that we love, myself included, I speak to myself as well too in saying this, we love to just reach home and sit on the couch, sit on the chairs and just collapse into, all right, let me just binge eat, binge watch and binge sit. And we need to really get up and get moving, Trinidad and Tobago. So I do apologize for the internet connectivity issues. And I really try to get that rectified, Bass. If not, I'll find myself in studio on a Wednesday, okay? So it's been a pleasure, Bass, and I really enjoy your company and taking these wonderful questions from our public. I really appreciate everyone who's been locked in listening. Lots of persons from Central, South, North, East, West, even East Trinidad have been always messaging, locked in on a lunchtime, and I do appreciate your comments, your feedback. As we continue to uplift our country, uplift our health of our society, and honestly, if we can really improve the health of our country, we would see a much more beautiful Trinidad than it already is. Okay, so until next week, Wednesday, my friends, have a good one and take charge of your health.
All right, thank you there very much. You've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 and Sky 99.5. Dr. Vasan Basdeo, we'll catch you next week, Wednesday, all right?
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.